Chris Chakravarti Prabhu with us. Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Yes, Mataji, I'm here.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhuji will be enlightening us on 4.7.7. So Prabhuji, please take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamsya Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swaminite Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshitarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradaya De Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaur Tushe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Taptakanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Harikye Pancha Kalpataru Bhishya Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha, Srivasadi, Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7. Verse numbers 7, 8 and 9. Three verses we will cover today. 7 and 8 are more descriptive purports. So there is a more philosophical explanation given in the 9th one. So we will cover 7, 8 and 9. So I will read the verse and then translation purport and then we will discuss. Tato midvasam amantriya Shunra Shunashira Saharsibhi Bhuyasadeva Yajanam Samidvad Vedasoyayu. Translation. Thereafter, Bhrigu, the chief of the great sages, invited Lord Shiva to come to sacrificial arena. Thus, the demigods accompanied by the sages, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma all went to the place where great sacrifice was being performed. Purport. The whole sacrifice arranged by King Daksha had been disturbed by Lord Shiva. Therefore, all the demigods present there, along with Lord Brahma and the great sages specifically, requested Lord Shiva to come and revive the sacrificial fire. There is a common phrase, Shiva Hina Yajna. Any sacrifice without the presence of Lord Shiva is baffled. Lord Vishnu is Yajneshwara, the Supreme Personality in the matter of sacrifice. Yet in each Yajna, it is necessary for all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva to be present. 8. Vidhayakatneya cha tad yad aha bhagavan bhavah sandadu kascha kayena savaniya pasho shirah. After everything was executed exactly as directed by Lord Shiva, Daksha's body was joined to the head of the animal meant to be killed in the sacrifice. This time, all the demigods and great sages were very careful not to irritate Lord Shiva. Therefore, whatever he asked was done. It is specifically said here that Daksha's body was joined to a head of an animal, and that animal was goat. Text 9. Sandhyamane shirasi Daksho Rudra Vivikshataha Tadyasupta Itho Vattav Ivo Tattav Tadrashe Jagrato Mridam. When the animal's head was fixed on the body of King Daksha, Daksha was immediately brought to consciousness. And as he awakened from sleep, the king saw Lord Shiva standing before him. Purport. The example given here is that Daksha got up as if he were awakened from deep sleep. In Sanskrit, this is called Supta Ivottatsav. The meaning is that after a man awakens from sleep, he immediately remembers all the duties which he must execute. Daksha was killed and his head was taken away and burned to ashes. His body was lying dead, but by the grace of Lord Shiva, as soon as the head of a goat was joined to the body, Daksha came back to consciousness again. This indicates that consciousness is also individual. Daksha actually took another body when he took on the head of a goat. But because consciousness is individual, his consciousness remained the same, although his bodily condition changed. Thus, bodily construction has nothing to do with the development of consciousness. Consciousness is carried with the transmigration of the soul. There are many instances of this in Vedic history. He knew that although formerly he was King Bharata, he had been transferred to the body of a deer because of his absorption in thinking of a deer at the time of his death. In spite of having the body of a deer, however, his consciousness was as good as it was in the body of King Bharata. The arrangement by the Lord is so nice that if a person's consciousness turns into Krishna consciousness, there is no doubt that in his next life, he will be a great devotee of Krishna, even if he is offered a different type of body. So we saw last week, and you are continuing, about this Daksha Yagya, where Daksha insulted Lord Shiva, and eventually everything was destroyed in the first time, and then Sati quit her body, and then Daksha was killed. Then Lord Brahma with all the demigods, he goes to pacify Lord Shiva, and Shiva, as his name is given as Ashutosh, he is very easily pleased, and he is here also, we see he is pleased. And he agrees to come to the fire sacrifice. And by his blessings only, Daksha has been revived to life again. So in the first two verses, which is 7th and 8th, it's spoken how Bhrigu invites Brahma and Shiva specifically. They are invited, and because they offended Lord Shiva, so Bhrigu was careful. He would deal very carefully with Lord Shiva. We should learn from this. Bhrigu was also a devotee. He is the same devotee, if we know, who is appointed by all the rishis. Go and test amongst Brahma and Shiva and Vishnu, who is the Supreme Lord. So Bhrigu is not an ordinary soul. But in this case, it is shown that Shiva is much more at a higher level than Bhrigu. So Bhrigu understands. He is the chief of the Brahmanas. and he understands that I have committed mistake. He knows all the scriptures. So now I should be more careful. So this is what we should also learn from Bhrigu, that when we commit mistake, and specifically in dealing with devotees, in dealing with deities, in dealing with holy name, okay, we committed mistake, we beg forgiveness. The next time we should be more cautious in dealing, be more careful. And then the fire sacrifice was started, and the head of the animal, which was a goat, was given to Daksha. And Daksha is revived. And Prabhupada, in the purport, is telling how body is different from consciousness, because consciousness is a symptom of soul. And soul has nothing to do with the body. It is completely different entity. Now, this we all know. You all have been practicing from so many years, so that we are not this body. Dehino asmi yatha dehi kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara prapte dhira satra namoyati. But the most amazing thing is that even after learning these shlokas and even giving classes on these shlokas, still we should analyze and introspect that have we understood this shloka? Dehino asmi yatha dehi. Prabhupada is writing 4th canto Bhagavatam, and again he is writing similar things. Yeah, I was just last 3 days I was teaching to one devotee who came from abroad to India to learn Bhagavad Gita, and 3 chapters I covered, 9th, 10th and 11th and 12th, 4 chapters. Every day 4 hours of class I had to give to that devotee. So what the devotee realized, that why Prabhupada is not only Prabhupada repeating, even Krishna is kind of repeating similar instructions again and again. Arjuna is repeating, Krishna is repeating. If you see 9th chapter, Krishna is talking similar things again. And 10th chapter, 11th chapter also, Krishna speaks, then Arjuna speaks, then Krishna speaks, same thing. In one chapter, 2-3 times things are repeated. So one devotee, one disciple, he asked Srila Prabhupada that why again and again, Prabhupada, you repeat the things in your purports. Prabhupada said, repetition is necessary to drive the point home. Now in the 4th canto, not only 4th canto, if you go till 10th canto, Prabhupada writes similar thing about body and soul. The 10 years of preaching of Srila Prabhupada, from 66, 11 years till 77, Prabhupada has been talking about these things. In the last days, he was telling his disciple that we should come out of mode of ignorance and mode of passion and come and situate ourselves, at least in the mode of goodness, practice bhakti and go beyond goodness and go back. And he's talking same things. We are not this body. When one disciple, he saw Prabhupada, he was shocked to see. Because in the last days, Prabhupada was so old, his body became very weak, apparently. Prabhupada said, don't think this will not happen to you. So all of you standing here are young, but this will all, you have to undergo similar situation. But still Prabhupada is showing with his own example that whatever may be the situation of my body, I'm still doing my service to my Guru Maharaj of translating Bhagavatam. Practically till the last breath, Prabhupada is translating Bhagavatam. And what Prabhupada is writing here, that consciousness is individual, different from the body, Prabhupada has proved in his life. Because just to translate a statement from one language to another, even though you are master of both the languages, it takes so much energy. And what to talk, when you have to apply your intelligence, because it's not only a spiritual subject matter, it is technical subject matter. It's so difficult for us. We break our head to get the right word. And that too, suppose if we have fever, we are down with fever, 102, or typhoid, or some thing, we are completely, devotees sometimes are not able to chant because they are very sick. And imagine the situation of Srila Prabhupada. What was his situation? He has not been eating. He was just drinking 3 drops of Charanamrit, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. Almost for 45 days. Prabhupada said, just give me Charanamrit, 3 drops, and let the singing of Hare Krishna whole day and whole night should go on besides me. Devotees can come in the shift and they can sing, and sometimes Brahma Samhita. And whenever Prabhupada wanted, he will translate. And that time Prabhupada is translating, giving instruction. So Prabhupada, whatever he has written in his purport as an acharya, he has proved that what I have written is not false, it's true. And Prabhupada's consciousness was completely awakened, completely in a spiritual Krishna conscious, what we call, not affected with the external environment. That is the meaning. So even though we are reading these things again, we are hearing these things, even for me, it's very difficult to realize that I am not this body. It takes time. We are in practice. So we are all students. So it will take time for us to realize. And Krishna will help us. He will keep sending the test. There will be time in everyone's life again and again where the body will be given some trouble as per our karma. And we will be in a situation, what to do? I have to do my sadhana in the morning, but my health is not good. So then Krishna will see. So no problem. No one ultimately fails in Krishna consciousness. More opportunity will be given. But I am saying that when I was reading this purport, I was thinking, why Prabhupada, at the fourth canto, where students would have read Bhagavad Gita, other books, first canto, third, second one, third one, fourth he is writing, same thing, that body is different. And again, King Bharata's name came, which is in fifth canto. Again he will talk. Ajamil's sixth canto, again he will talk. Because it is for us that we have to realize it, that we have not realized we are different from body. This will make us humble enough to pray to Krishna and Guru so that we can understand. And then we will be very much fixed in bhakti. Then we will engage really our body in Krishna's service. Now our name of the society, Srila Prabhupada gave it International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And this word also, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is not defined actually by Prabhupada. It is coming from Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami wanted Vishwa Vaishnav Raj Sabha, which is International Society, Vishwa Vaishnava Raj Sabha. The Sabha, the society of Vaishnavas, of devotees, but on the international level, Vishwa. And what they will do? Krishna Bhavana Bhavit. Krishna Consciousness. So it became International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now what, as the members of ISKCON, we have to understand that our consciousness has to change. Our consciousness, which is different from body and is explained in this verse, our consciousness has to become Krishna conscious. That is the point. I was hearing one lecture of Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita. He said, doesn't matter. One is a brahmachari, one is a sannyasi, one is a grihastha. Doesn't matter. Until and unless he is not engaged in Krishna consciousness, that also doesn't matter. If he is engaged in Krishna consciousness, if he is a sannyasi or grihastha, no problem. So more important is, than the ashram, which is also important, is the consciousness of the person. Then he will not be affected, because the ashram is still for the body. It's not really for the soul. It's for us to facilitate. So if husband and wife both are living in a griha, in a house, that does not mean they become grihastha. Until unless Krishna comes in the center, that is not known as grihastha ashram. So for our devotees, everyone of, whether a brahmachari, a sannyasi or grihastha, everyone is worshipping Krishna. Krishna is in the center. Now, we have to take this a step ahead and become deeper in this understanding that every moment, how I can become Krishna conscious. I was just talking to a few of our youth sometime back, and how when we are, I said, if as a muni, as a devotee, we have to be mananshil, always introspective. In Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned, a devotee should be introspective. So what introspection we should do? That when opportunities are coming, and practically every minute, every hour, every day, Krishna sends us opportunity to introspect whether I'm taking shelter of Krishna or I'm taking shelter of something else. That we have to introspect. Even if we are not able to take shelter of Krishna, we should be intelligent and introspective to know that yes, I couldn't take shelter of Krishna when I was faced with this situation, with this problem. I took shelter of money, I took shelter of my relatives, I took shelter of my own intelligence. So at least we should know that. One devotee was, in India people have two wheelers, you know that. So in one devotee was riding a bike, a two wheeler, and another devotee was sitting behind. So this, and when he was riding on the road, one person, you know, how India is, people don't care about the zebra crossing or signal, and they just cross the road. So one person just crossed the road. And this devotee who was riding, he said, you know, marega kya? That means you want to die or what? So the other devotee from behind, he said, Prabhu, forget whether he wants to die or not die. Do you want to die? If there is certain situation coming where you are shocked, why don't you remember Krishna? Why didn't you call out Krishna's name? And that was an awakening moment for the devotee. Yes, I could have called out Krishna, Gauranga, and nothing else. So when this very famous sloka, Krishna says, Yamyam vapi smaram bhavam tyajyante ante kalevaram tam tam eveti kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavita. Two times this word comes, bhava. Yamyam vapi smaram bhavam. In whatever state of mind one leaves the body, that state of mind he will, that kind of body he will be given. So it is about the state of mind, and that is consciousness, that is bhava. That is called bhava. So it doesn't matter that if I leave body in the temple or outside temple, in the dham or outside dham, amongst the devotee or not, or alone. What is my bhava? That is more important. And that needs practice. Oh. one leave body in the dham, in the holy dham. But if bhava is not there connected to Krishna, then what can Krishna do? Krishna will say, okay, maybe you need one more life. What will you do after coming to Vaikuntha, because your bhava is not yet become Krishna conscious? And Krishna does not take away our little minute independence given to us. He never will take away that. He is a gentleman. He has given us, he will never touch that. It's we who, if want our benefit, we have to change our consciousness and use our free will in service of Krishna. Krishna will never touch. So it's about consciousness. It is about consciousness which we have to change, nothing else. So sometimes as a student may get less marks. Sometimes a person who's serving, you know, working in the company, who's doing job, he may not get promotion, or he may have less earning, less saving, more expenditure at home, or someone is afflicted with some disease, or something or the other. These things will keep happening. That is the law of material nature, the law of karma will act. The entire world, entire material creation is working under this principle of law of karma. That will happen. But on the parallel track, if we can gradually change our consciousness, slowly, gradually, taking help of devotees, taking help of Guru, taking help of Prabhupada, taking help of holy name, scriptures, deities, temples, holy dham, what Krishna has not given. The facilities provided by Maya to allure us away from Krishna are much, much, much lesser than facilities given by Krishna to allure us towards the Ananda, the Vaikuntha. So we have to change our consciousness. Most of us, doesn't matter brahmachari or grahastha, we get absorbed in our activities so much. Because, like all of you, let us remember the first day when we took up the beads and started chanting first round. If you don't remember, try to remember later. Remember that day. I still remember when I took a bead and I chanted my first round. And you see the experience. Even though we were not advanced in bhakti, but definitely we had not committed any offense. So that was like Namabhas level. And you feel completely out of the world. Today also, okay, even if you don't remember about your chanting, you preach to someone else and gave him or her the chanting bead and let that person chant. And after one round, the way he will or she will share their realization is completely out of the world. Nothing offered by Maya can match up to the level of satisfaction and peace and bliss what that person gets by chanting one round of Hare Krishna. And we all underwent with the same experience. Why we are not having that experience today? When we are chanting 16 rounds, even after getting initiation, even after understanding all the philosophy. So we should always be introspective to see what is happening in my life in consciousness. We are very introspective what is happening externally, but we have to be introspective what is happening in my consciousness, from where my consciousness is going. So one obvious reason the devotees say that is aparad. Okay. But another reason is mechanical. When you do something for first time, second time, you learn, you're very, very attentive. You're very attentive. We are completely absorbed in that activity. But after some time, what happens? That we have learned it and practiced it. And even with closed eyes, even without putting our attention there, we can do that activity. Even like, most of us have started using smartphone, and before that we were using that simple ordinary phone. So when we got into smartphones, we were so careful. But now, even in the sleep, you can operate because you become used to it. And when we become used to something, we take it very casually. We don't value it. Material life is okay, but spiritual life is not like that. But unfortunately, most of us have taken spiritual life and chanting and reading and hearing casually. Okay, lecture is going on. Let me plan my day. Let me plan my week. Chanting is going on. And we have become so expert chanters that even while you're sleeping, your lips are moving. I've seen devotees. Sometimes my mind is completely gone for preaching, for cooking, for office, job, studies, completely planning is going on. But the tongue is vibrating the holy name. That does not mean we have become Shuddha Bhaktas, we have become pure devotees. That means we are not attentive. That means our consciousness is not in the chanting. Our consciousness is somewhere else, only body is in chanting. I don't know whether it's possible. Body will become Krishna conscious, but the consciousness will not become Krishna conscious. Definitely not. So attentive chanting means our consciousness, we should be present there. Our consciousness should be there. When we are taking darshan of the deities, our consciousness should be there. Not that looking at the beautiful jewelry of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, we remember our jewelry. Seeing their clothes, we remember our clothes. Our consciousness should be there. And then the purpose of coming to International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We have come here to transform our consciousness from Maya conscious to Krishna. Then it will happen. And that is why our acharyas have always said that be attentive. Pay attention to the details and pay attention to the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. We are all sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means following the rules and regulations attentively. And attentiveness means this. Our consciousness will be there. Which is different from individual. Individual is sitting there. All of us may be sitting in Bhagavatam class, all of us sitting for chanting. But how many of us have consciousness? One devotee very beautifully said that suppose in a room, in a temple room, 100 devotees are chanting. But all the 100 will have different level of chanting because their consciousness are different. So we have to try and practice to bring our consciousness, to bring our attention and purify our consciousness, transform our consciousness from external to internal to make it Krishna conscious. To become antarmukha from bahirmukha. And that's why Queen Kunti says that one who has got lot of material opulence, it is very difficult to perform bhakti. But if you see, her son, when she started praying, just before the prayers, Krishna gave entire kingdom, entire planet to Yudhishthira. Now your son has got entire planet and you are saying that opulence is an obstacle in the path of bhakti. So why you took that? Okay, anyways, Krishna gave, they didn't want that. That means that even if you have opulence, it should not contaminate our consciousness. It should not come on the way our consciousness is moving toward Krishna. The opulence should not come in the way. Many devotees in our movement are super rich. Many acharyas, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, super rich. They have a lot of money, a lot of opulences. Prabhupada himself, in terms of so many followers, so much name and fame, so much. But his consciousness was not drifted away from Krishna at any moment. So all these opulences never come on his way. Whatever came, he used them in Krishna's service. That is why the material things are condemned. And so many rishis and yogis, they try to give up these material things. Dhyan yogis and gyan yogis, they give up the material things, opulence. Because you cannot practice Dhyan Yoga and Gyan Yoga until unless you give up all the material opulences. But what happens in this age of Kali Yuga, or even before, it is not so easy to transfer your consciousness to Krishna. It's not so easy. Which becomes very, very easy for a bhakti yogi. Because the process of bhakti, even though very simple, yet most powerful process. We hear this example from Ramayana. Jatayu was killed by Rama. Now Jatayu was old and he knew he cannot fight Ravana. He will be killed. Mother Sita is telling to Jatayu, don't fight, you cannot fight him. He'll kill you. Go away and tell Ram. But did he listen to her? No. He fought. He knew I will die. But even after death, materially, he was a loser. But spiritually, he was victorious. Personally, Lord Ram did antim sanskar for him and sent him back to Vaikuntha. Because his consciousness, even though his body was engaged with Ravana, his consciousness was engaged in the lotus feet of Rama, serving Rama. Bhishma, even though externally Bhishma and Drona were supporting Duryodhana and his sinful plans, but both of them, especially Bhishma, was completely focused at the lotus feet of Krishna. And that is why Krishna comes personally to him at the last moment, the moment of his death, and gives him darshan. What a life! His life was extraordinary, his death was extra extraordinary. Krishna is personally coming and taking darshan of Krishna, he leaves from this world. Who will be so fortunate who will get darshan of Krishna? Until unless whole life we practice, change our consciousness from matter, bring it to Krishna. We may or may not get success. We may or may not get success. But Krishna will consider that this person, he struggled to bring his consciousness to my lotus feet, even though he was getting again and again pulled by Maya. And so many examples we have, so many examples. But eventually they became success. Ajamil. He was a Brahmin. But how, at the age of 25, he got afflicted with sinful desires. He was completely pulled. And for next 53 years, till the age of 88, he was staying with that prostitute. But Krishna helped him. Bilwa Mangal Thakur. He was attached to a prostitute. And his guru spoke through prostitute. And he became connected to Krishna. He left everything. Immediately, he left his house, wife, everything, property, and he went to Vrindavan in search of Krishna. On the way, he saw a Brahmani, wife of Brahmana, and he again got attracted. His lust again became overwhelmed. He became overwhelmed by his lust. And he started following this Brahmani. And the husband is saying that he is a sadhu. Can you imagine this? This happened in Kali Yuga, 800, 900 years back. Husband is saying he is a sadhu and we are grihastha. We must serve him, whatever he is asking. The wife said, he is asking me. He wants to enjoy my body. The husband says, no problem. He has come to our house and as a householder, we must give him. So you go and serve him. This is happening in Kali Yuga. Such a high class person he would be. Such a person, dharmanisht, completely fixed up in religious principle. And what happens? Wife comes and she is ready to serve Bilwa Mangal Thakur. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur comes to his senses. Krishna saves him. And he asks for the hairpin and plucks his eyes. And then starts towards Vrindavan. And before reaching Vrindavan, one small boy comes and he says, Baba, how will you go? I will take you to Vrindavan. And this boy every day plays with him. And he's telling, have you seen Krishna? No. And actually, Krishna was playing with him. So Krishna helps. Krishna will help us. Every time we will get pulled by Maya, if somehow we are praying and we are practicing, when we are pulled by Maya, Krishna will come and save us. We may get defeated, but Krishna will still pull us and make us again stand on our feet, and he will say, okay, walk towards me. And we will again get drifted away. And okay. So this is a battle we have to fight. We should practice. We should never be fearful of failure, because we will never fail. We will never fail. Bhagavatam says that 11th canto. Even if you run with your eyes closed on this path of bhakti, you will not trip. Because it's a path of bhakti, it's not a path of yoga. It's not a path of dhyana or jnana or karma. It's a path of bhakti. The path itself is glorious. Someone who has started bhakti is glorious. Srila Rupa Goswami, he writes in Padyavali, one of the lines he writes, that, O my Lord, one entity, living entity, who desires, pay attention to this word, one who desires to chant your holy name, pure holy names, only desires, what happens? The Lord Brahma starts preparing Madhupak. Madhupak means water, Gangajal, honey, milk, curd, what we use in Abhishek. Because Brahma knows very soon this person has desired to chant pure holy name, Krishna will do something or the other. Krishna will do anything and everything to bring him back. And this living entity will go to Vaikuntha very soon, crossing my Brahmalok. And before he goes to Vaikuntha, I will do his Abhishek. Rupa Goswami is right. Okay. And what will happen next? The scribe of Yamaraj, Chitragupt, he gazes at the toenail of the chanter. Imagine, you will just think, you just desire to chant pure holy name. Brahma is preparing Madhupak and Chitragupt is gazing at your toenail with awe and reverence. And the material glory, glory of this material world, faints unconscious. And now, no hope. This fellow cannot be captured by me. And the sins, they tremble in fear because they cannot touch you. Rupa Goswami is writing this. At least we should become introspective and we should desire to improve our consciousness. That much we can start, and you see that Krishna will personally interfere in your life and help you, some or the other. We should keep regular eye on our consciousness, where it is going. When you are facing with any difficulty, when you are, so you take shelter of technology, you take shelter of money, you take shelter of, you know, something material, or you take shelter. Oh, we have to do intelligently. We have to do. Krishna is not saying that you be a foolish, you be a lazy bum and completely dependent on me. That's not the meaning of complete dependence. Krishna told to Arjuna, Mamanusmrana Yuddhacha, Yuddha to Karna, you have to perform this activity of war. You have to fight, Arjuna. But before fight, Mamanusmrana, remember me and then fight. Krishna is not saying to Arjuna, don't do the activity. You must perform this activity. But first remember me. Prabhupada, in America, I think in San Francisco, it was Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur appearance day or disappearance, I'm not very sure. And Prabhupada told his disciples to prepare a feast. And they prepared dal rai sabji chapati. Prabhupada said, it's a feast. Today is my Guru Maharaj's Vyas Puja. This is what feast? At least Prabhupada said, I will enter the kitchen. And Prabhupada entered the kitchen. He cooked more than 10 items. And when he entered the kitchen, he was on the... Actually, before entering the kitchen, he was on the doorstep. He softly chanted, Om Jnana Timirandrasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Vilita Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Look at his consciousness. Before entering the kitchen to cook for his Guru Maharaj, he is praying to his Guru Maharaj. Look at the consciousness. And he's doing it softly. Somehow his secretary heard, and we can understand this humbly lamrit. So for every activity, we should introspect, are we remembering our Guru? Are we remembering Prabhupada? Are we remembering Krishna? Even for so-called material activity like our job and studies and all that, that will become Krishna consciousness. At least let us remember Krishna. And then do the activity. We are not saying do not do any activity. Do the activity, but depend on Krishna. When you take medicine, in Ayurveda it is mentioned, how will you take medicine? Now medicine you cannot offer to Krishna. Krishna is not disease, no? So that medicine is what? You are taking without offering to Krishna. So in Ayurveda it is said that you should remember Lord Vishnu before taking medicine. I think one of the Purana, I think Vishnu Purana also is mentioned. We should remember Lord Vishnu before taking the medicine. Because it is Lord Vishnu who will cure the disease. But as a matter of duty, we will take medicine. So our consciousness should be dependent on Krishna and Guru, and our body should take medicine. No problem. many devotees come to temple. So many ISKCON temples are there. They offer obeisances before coming. They come for Mangal Aarti before paying the obeisances to deities, they pay off interest. Yeah, I've seen. And I've discussed with these devotees. Sometimes they're not even conscious while paying obeisances. Whom are we paying obeisances? He say after every lecture, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Prabhupada, all glories to this, all glories to this. But do we actually mean? Or we actually mean inside that all glories to me? This is what every individual has to check their consciousness. Just by observing our consciousness, what will happen? Mind will become fearful that, oh, this soul is attentive. I cannot cheat this person. I have to find out new trick. And just because you are observing your consciousness, Krishna comes into picture. He says, okay, this person is very serious about bhakti, about achieving me, receiving my favor. I will protect him. So this is the consciousness. Bharat Maharaj was in the dham, but he was thinking about deer. He became deer. That's all. So I think time has come. Can speak a lot, but time is a factor which we have to respect. We should respect the time factor because time is Krishna. It is said in the scripture, dharmo rakshati rakshata. One who protects dharma, at the difficult time, dharma will protect him. So we should respect time. So what we discuss about consciousness, how consciousness is different from the body, and we give example of Prabhupada. Today also we see so many of our spiritual masters in the moment. We see their body. Body of spiritual master is also spiritual, but still it is given by material nature. But the body is not affecting their preaching. They are so powerful in preaching. The followers of Prabhupada, they follow his footsteps. And then we discuss about how we should be introspective and observant about our own consciousness and whether we are taking shelter of material energy or spiritual energy, and then we should gradually shift our consciousness from matter to spirit, from material energy to Krishna, the energetic. And then Krishna will help us and protect us, and we are on the path of bhakti, which is very simple yet very sublime. We will ultimately attain complete success. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any questions? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Very, very instructive class. You gave us a lot of hope in the class. Just simply by desiring also, you know, we can have a lot of hope. Prabhuji, I have a question for you. I was asking one of the senior devotees about this. At the time of death, I was asking him what really happens at the time of death. Like, how does the soul know where to go? Like, you know, we may desire to go to Krishna, and how does the soul know to cross over all these, you know, the water bodies and the heavenly planets and reach, you know, the ultimate destination? And he was telling me that Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur has written in his book, and I forget the name of the book. It is not Hari Bhakti Vilas. It is not that one. It is another book. He said that the holy name personally carries the soul to the home of a devotee. Do you know anything about that, Prabhu?
So, I exactly don't know what that Prabhuji was saying, but I know one thing, that Krishna created this material creation and it was completely dark, so he gave the sun and moon and every facility. And then when the soul was about to enter material creation, Krishna was thinking, how this my child will go to this place? He does not know anything about that. He has always stayed with me in Vaikuntha, and now he is going to material creation and he does not know. So let me accompany him as Paramatma. And that is why Krishna accompanies every living entity as Paramatma, even the worm and the stool. So Paramatma is there. Now, after the death, what he is saying, that is right, because it is written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But little more explanation you are asking. So, like if the soul has to go to hell, the Yamdutas will take. The soul will not go. Soul on its own cannot do anything. Yamdutas will come along with the subtle body, take the soul. On the planets, the Devadutas will come. And if you see, Bhagavatam clearly says, when Dhruv Maharaj was going back to the spiritual world, Vishnu Janas came, Vishnu Dutas. For Ajamil protection also Vishnu Dutas came. After that 5 years, Ajamil went to Haridwar, practiced bhakti. Then same Vishnu Dutas came and took him back. So it is not that the soul has to go. The Vimana will come for you. Please remember me also. I will also board. I will go in a waiting ticket. So that Vimana will come, Vishnu Dutas will come. It is not that, it will be a grand celebration. All the devatas will stand with awe and reverence, holding their hands when you will, race to the spiritual world. And grand personal private plane will come for you. And so many Vishnu Dutas will be there who will guide you, who will take you, and Krishna will personally welcome if you go to Goloka Vrindavan. Bhagavat Samrata is explained. Narada Muni is explaining. This Gop Kumara, he goes, Krishna embraces. Where were you, my friend, from so long? This is how Krishna will welcome. So someone will take us. Soul will not go alone. The Vimana will come. That's what we see in case of Dhruv Maharaj, we see in case of Ajami. We see so many cases in Bhagavatam and other Puranas where, suddenly the living entity got 400 form and the Vimana came. Krishna will facilitate everything for us. So that is what I can say, what we see in Bhagavatam and Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Is it okay, Mataji?
Prabhuji, my question was specifically about this holy name thing, because, when I told him, I thought Krishna comes and all that, so he said, that is what a very, very pure devotee is going to go to, Goloka, but for people like us, still we have a lot of hope that just by chanting the holy name itself will carry us to the home of a devotee. Actually, I'm driving right now, so I don't have that name of the book, but I have it, I can probably put it in the message. It is one particular book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
So you are saying that maybe Bhajan Rahasya?
No, Bhajan Rahasya? No, not that one. Once I get a little stop in my
So you are saying the holy name will take us to the home of a house of a devotee.
Yes.
I didn't understand why you will go to a house of a devotee. If you are getting liberated, you will go to Vaikuntha or Goloka. Or maybe you are not liberated, not completely pure, you are given opportunity that time. Maybe possible. I have not read that book, but whatever Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, there is no doubt about this. But we have to check what exactly, in what context he writes. But what we see in Bhagavatam, I can. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
No, the book
Krishna,
is Harinam Rasa Mahima.
Okay. Harinam, so I can check and let you know maybe sometime later.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you very much.
But we don't have to worry about all these details, whether holy name will come or Krishna will come or Vishnu will come or Vishnu Dutas will come, Vimana will come. We have to take care of our own consciousness. If we don't purify the consciousness, no one will come. So we have to work on the consciousness. Yeah. I can say that much, and I'll still find out from that book in what context it is mentioned. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you,
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. There is one song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yes, this is Kamala Kitasi. There is one song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in, I think, Sarnagati or Gitavali section. The last song, it says, Krishna Nam Dhare Kato Bal. In that song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, in the song, it's describing that how holy name will take my hand and leave you at the lotus feet of Krishna.
Wow, good. So, which song you said?
Krishna Nam Dhare Kato Bal.
No, which book you said?
I think it's maybe Sarnagati in the last song, or Gitavali. It's Namastakam. Here in Namastakam, there's 8 sections of holy name that he's describing and explaining. And how, and the last song in this Namastakam is this song. It says, it starts like this, Krishna Nam Dhare Kata Bal. How much potency the holy name of Krishna has. And then he just, describes how it is. In this material world I'm burning, but the holy name enters into my ears and goes into my heart. And coming out from on my tongue and dancing. And it's very nicely he has described. And he also described that Krishna Nam is like Kalika, bird, flower bird. And as we chant more and more, then it opens up and fully blossoms. And it's very nice song. I love that. So
good. Maybe
you can sing that song.
Good. Yes, Mata, they are definitely
reading. Yeah, in that it says that this holy name will take me with my hand and bring me to Krishna's lotus feet and leave me there, and this body will be completely demised. This material body.
Yeah.
That's what he explained that. It's very, very good.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Very, very nice, wonderful explanation you have given. Very nice class we have given for Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for the beautiful class, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, can I ask one question, Prabhuji?
Yes, please.
Prabhuji, I have one question. Like, as you said that Krishna is always in our heart in the Paramatma form, he knows everything. And the other thing is that we are getting the results of our karma. So whatever we have done in the past or what we are doing, we will get according to that. So, like, we know everything, but why it happens that when some difficulties come or when the provoking situations comes, then we ask something to Krishna, even though we should not, we know that we should not, because he knows whatever is good for us. He is our Supreme Father, and as a father, he knows what is good for our children. So, but we still ask him that, give me that, or I want that, please give me that. So why it happens, why we are forced to ask him something?
So, 2-3 concepts actually when you said the question. One thing, first thing we have to understand, we are not yet pure devotees. Pure devotees means we don't have complete faith on Krishna as of now. We are in the process. And by remaining in the process, by continuing the process, we will come to the stage where we will have complete faith on the Krishna. On the Lord. Right now we don't have. So, because of those impurities, we are forced to ask. Because of our own selfish desires, we are forced to ask Krishna. But that is okay. Krishna is saying, Chaturveda bhajante mam guna sukritana arjuna artho artharti jigyasu jnanicha bharata sarva. That is okay. Krishna says these four kind of living entities, because they are coming to me, they are very magnanimous. They are not going to demigods. Even if you need anything, okay, go to Krishna. Devotees have gone. Sometimes even pure devotees, they may not ask for material benefit, but they are something. Like Kunti is asking to Krishna, that my dear Lord, please cut my attachments to both the families, Vrishni and Yadava. No, Vrishni and Pandu, Vrishni Pandushu. Both the families, cut my connection. But this is very higher thing. We are small children. So we are asking, give me some money, give me some facility. Because of our own purity, impurities, and because lack of faith. But at least, Krishna says, you are coming to me. That is good. So we should go to Krishna. Whatever we want, we ask. And gradually Krishna will purify. And Jatan Charitamriti says, Krishna says, my devotees, they come to me. Sometimes they are foolish. And they ask for what? Material benefit. What I do? Ami agya. Krishna says, he may be a fool, but I am not. I am intelligent. What I will do? I will give him my charanamrita. Charanamrita divo. Then he says, I will make him forget all the material desires. So that will gradually happen. Krishna, right now, he will give you material and he will purify your heart also. Like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj got material because he asked material. He was not a pure devotee. He asked for material. He got purified. Krishna purified him completely and yet he gave him material facilities. Yudhishthira didn't want material facilities, yet Krishna gave him. So Krishna will give, but Krishna will purify also. So that is the benefit of going to Krishna rather than going to anyone else. So that's okay. We have to practice. And gradually, by our chanting, reading, hearing, our heart will get purified. And then we'll understand, even if we want something material, we will not ask Krishna. We'll just do our bhajan. And Krishna will provide. Like in case of Sudama. Wife told you, go and ask. He still didn't ask, but Krishna gave him. So sometimes Krishna's devotee, they need some material facility even for service of Krishna. They may ask, they may not ask. So that is okay. You don't take it such in a serious way. It's okay. Gradually, we'll get purified. The reason is of our own impurity, and because of our impurities in the heart, we are not able to develop complete faith on Krishna. But whatever little bit faith we have, we should practice, and Krishna will give material spiritual both. Eventually, he will completely purify us and take us back. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Right. Hare Krishna.
Any other question or comment?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. This is Damodar Ananda Das from Bloomington, Illinois.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Dhanda was very nice lecture. I learned a lot of things today. And I just wanted to add a little my understanding for what Mataji said. You know, as we all know that Krishna is non-different from his name. Krishna is non-different from Mahamantra. So if Bhaktivinoda Thakur made the statement that Mahamantra will personally take us to Goloka, it is very compatible with the philosophy, but taking somebody to the devotee's home, that needs to be clarified, because, yeah. And even in the Kali Yuga present time, you know, a few hundred years ago, Tukaram also was taken on a Vimana to Vaikuntha.
Yes.
So, and the third, there is a third category, you know, where his soul is not accompanied, and that soul, as Prabhupada describes in Bhagavatam, becomes ghost. You know, there is a explanation about why somebody becomes a ghost. And that Prabhupada says when somebody dies with intense desires, he is not taken to the next destination and he gets stuck in limbo and becomes a ghost. But yeah, Even in the movie Ghost, that was made in Hindi also, they borrowed the same principle. When the bad man dies, the black Yam Dutas come very fearsome. And when the good guy dies, you know, people come with white clothes and very pleasant. Those are the representation of Vishnu Dutas they borrowed in that movie. So, and it was very nice, this question, because I'm going to take a talk on death according to the Vedic scriptures. So it will be very useful, this discussion. And Prabhuji, very nicely bringing out, thank you for bringing out the point that at the time of death, people think just taking by the name of Krishna, like Ajamil did, we can be liberated, but it's the bhav that with which we'll remember Krishna. So that was very instructive for me. And also, you're mentioning that, you know, you don't have to feel guilty that you are rich or you are opulent, because there are a lot of time discussions are made that, you know, you had to be very poor or humble to be Krishna conscious. But as we see in Bhagavatam, most of the examples given are of kings, starting from King Parikshit, where the Bhagavatam starts. So there are more examples of kings, rich people, than, you know, also with other poor class of people. So
regarding what? Can you please? No, in Bhagavatam there are examples for everyone. There are poor fellows also.
Yes, exactly. So, but thank you for bringing out the point that it's not for only poor or rich, but it's for everybody. So I really appreciate that.
Even for anyone.
Yes. Thank you, Prabhuji. Danda was to you. Haribo.
Danda.
Is there no call?
Yes.
Very nicely explaining many things to you. So, I guess there was just one spoke. You glorified Rupa Goswami so wonderful, giving a couple of quotations from Patavali. So it adds to the glory of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami is this Patavali. It's a compilation by him. It really stands out from other books of Rupa Goswami. So in Padyavali is a compilation of shlokas by Rupa Goswami, but none of the shloka is written by Rupa Goswami. It's a compilation of shlokas like Mahaprabhu's 8th Shtashtakam. Then the shloka which you quote, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Matihi, that is by Rai Ramanand Rai. And the wonderful shloka about the glories of the holy name, that Brahma will come and do the matpark of the devotee who is going back to Godhead. So Rupa Goswami's glory is that although he has glorified the holy name himself, but he is so appreciative of all the previous acharyas and devotees who have given such a wonderful expression about transcendence, about the holy name and their realization. So Rupa Goswami is doing a great service and setting the example that how he was so appreciative of the previous acharyas and other stalwart Vaishnavas and devotees all over the world. So, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So I think we shall stop here. It's almost 1.5 hours. All glories to Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
All the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.
Dandavat Pranam Prabhuji, very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Actually, I wanted to say something. Is that okay?
Please.
Oh my God, I am stuck on the middle of the road. Screen light, sorry. I'm driving, Prabhu. So, Prabhuji, Mataji said you will get born in the devotee family. Sometimes, you know, we see our children they have the qualities of devotee already. We don't have to teach them some things they can do, even we cannot do. We think that we are teaching everything to our kids, but sometimes kids show their intelligence that they are already know that. We don't have to say, like playing the instruments and doing kirtan and everything they can do, even we cannot do. So it shows that they know from their previous life. But sometimes some devotees, they say that even though you are born in, you are a devotee, you are chanting from years and years, but if we make some mistake, we have to come back to this material world again. But being born in devotee family, you will have one more chance to go home back to Godhead. Yes. Prabhuji, you are saying something.
Even if you are born in devotee family, like whatever we are practicing today as a bhakti, if we are not serious, we do not complete, maybe next life Krishna will give us opportunity to take birth in a devotee family. But still the risk is there. Till the time you go back to Vaikuntha, risk is there. What if you have completed 99% of bhakti and then you commit a Vaishnava aparad?
Yes.
You'll get stuck. So whether a devotee, the devotee child or not, we should all be serious in practicing bhakti. And especially all of you who are grihasthas, devotees, and your children are also devotees from previous life, Prabhupada said, all the mothers and fathers should take care of their children. They should not just treat them as children, but they are Vaishnavas. So treat them as Vaishnavas, and maybe they will become the, instrument in taking you also back to Godhead.
Yes, Prabhuji. Very true.
So serve them as Vaishnavas.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very beautiful.
Hare
Krishna. Very nice discussion. So, if no one has any question or comment, we can stop here.